Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we have your calls, open lines tonight, and a couple readable ghost stories as well. Readable, readable. I didn't know I was trying to say readable, but it almost came across as readable. And
why are you saying they're readable?
I don't know. I don't even know why I said that, because whenever my mind grasps for a word, the wrong one comes out.
Yeah.
I'm very good at using the incorrect phrase or term on demand. Which in some cases is kind of interesting, because sometimes you get like, oh, I haven't heard it called that in a long time, or that's an interesting way to phrase something. But that's how it works. I'm very literal with the way that I speak about things. I am I speak about things in descriptive terms rather than what they're called. And so, like, at lunch today, we were talking about what was it called?
It was a wooden rope trim.
Yeah. So in my mind, because we had recently talked about rope, not as trim, but for a different project, I was thinking rope.
You thought I was going to glue rope to the cabinet top?
I thought it was kind of a themed thing. I didn't know.
Okay. You put a lot of trust into my ideas.
I do. I completely trust your ideas. And they always turn out really creative and good. So
you thought I was going to glue rope to a piece of furniture. And
I thought it was going for kind of a nautical.
You're
going
to go with it. Okay. That tells me I can do anything with decor.
Yeah, you pretty much can. I mean, but that's how my mind works.
Uh-huh.
I hear things and it's like, sometimes I know I don't understand them. And then I'll ask. Sometimes I'll think I understand them and not ask. Then that's when these other ideas are conjured up. And that's just how it works. And then someone has to correct me, like, later, going, that's not at all what we were talking about. Like, really? I thought we were getting a pony today. And, you know, it's like all these, that's how I work.
Readable stories, as opposed to the other stories that you read.
Readable stories. I believe it would be your letters that have been sent in to us. We will share them. Not readable stories, everybody. But that's how it works. That's how I am. How you doing? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us and make them readable. That'd be wonderful. Let's kick off the show today, actually, with let's go to a call to kick it off on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Let me get one pulled up here. Let's kick it off with Cameron and let's hear his real ghost story. Of course, 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Cameron from North Carolina. I wrote in quite a while ago with a story of the haunted dorm, where I was sitting on the bed and my leg got yanked off by something that wasn't there. Well, not yanked off, but just kind of yanked down. And, Jenny, I don't think you were actually present for that episode. I believe you were in class or something, so I'm not sure if you actually heard it. And the funny thing is that this summer, the dorm or the one across from it's being renovated, and I kind of walk by that area quite a bit. So I'm really tempted to ask some of the workers if they've experienced anything weird while doing the renovations, but I'm kind of afraid they'll look at me like, what a dumbass. So anyway, I decided to call in with another story, and this has pictures that go along with it. So I'll send those in after I get done telling the story. So anyway, when I was about 10, 11-ish, my family, which is my mom, my dad, my brother and I, we went on a vacation down to Florida, and one of our stops was St. Augustine. And St. Augustine is an absolutely beautiful city. I know y'all went down to Savannah, and if you like Savannah, you would definitely also enjoy St. Augustine if you haven't already been. It's another beautiful southern historic city. A lot of things to see, to do, a lot of great places, and quite old and quite haunted. I believe it's one of the oldest cities in America. So while we were there, my parents gave my brother and I an option of an event to go to or just something to do. My older brother chose to go to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, which is a really awesome place, and it's also haunted. So if you guys are planning to go down there at any point, that's definitely something to check out. And my event I wanted to go to was a ghost tour. I have been interested in the paranormal ever since I was little, when I saw a ghost at my grandmother's house, but that's another story. So like I said, it was about 10 or 11, and we just kind of walked around. There's a lot of little places set up where you can go on a ghost tour, and the one that we chose, it was one of the ones where they were in costume and had their own little character, and they would take us around to just like different places in the city and talk about the history and talk about the ghosts that were there. So one of the first stops on the tour was the cemetery. And the interesting thing about the cemetery was that I believe it's either a Catholic or Jewish cemetery. There were two that we went to. One was Catholic, one was Jewish. I'm not sure which one is which. So the story with that one, and again, I have pictures of this, is that on one of the gravestones, you could see a figure of a woman's face. And apparently during the day, you can't see it. There's really nothing there that should be showing that image. And if you, I believe her name was Mary, and if you kind of say like, oh, Mary, you're so beautiful and so lovely and I'd like to see more of you, like the face gets clearer and clearer to see. And indeed, we did see it, and everybody on the tour was able to see the face of Mary. And another thing that we saw, or we didn't actually see, is what we got pictures of were apparently something that were called ribbons. And sorry if there's noise in the background. I'm on a road, and cars are driving by. So if you hear something in the back, it's not an EVP, it's just cars. So anyway, we are at the area, and we're taking the pictures and whatnot, and apparently something that you can see when you take these pictures are something that are called ribbons. And apparently ribbons are something that are supposed to be like orbs, but instead of it being a ball of light, it's just kind of a line of energy. And I have not seen that anywhere else. I've tried to research this, and really the only thing that comes up when I search ghostly ribbons comes out talking about stuff in St. Augustine. So not sure if that's just some sort of like environmental anomaly that occurs in that specific area or what, but I have pictures of that, and I'll send it to you and let me know what you think. So we're taking pictures. I got pictures of the I believe Mary's face in the gravestone. And then we go to another area of St. Augustine, and this particular place is another one of the cemeteries. It's either Jewish or Catholic, and again, I'm not really sure which one. So we get there, and people are filing in line behind us before we start the story. And when I get there, I see this figure of a little boy run around a gravestone. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And eventually he just kind of disappears. So the tour guide, he starts talking about the history of the place and like the history of the cemetery. And then he goes along to the ghost story, and he says that years and years ago, there was a little boy that was playing in the area, and he had climbed up in a tree and fell down and died there right next to the cemetery. And people say that they've been able to see his spirit kind of playing around the gravestones. And I thought it was pretty cool, you know. It wasn't just actually seeing something, but it was seeing something and having the story to back it up. And the story was after I actually saw it, so it wasn't something that I was looking for. We went to other areas of this city and didn't really see anything out there, but still a cool tour of all the different historic places. But yeah, I thought you would like to hear that and see the pictures and let me know what you think. I've just recently re-become an EPP. I was having trouble with that last year. You might have remembered me trying to email you, trying to figure out what was going on. I'm finally back to being an EPP, and I absolutely love it. And thank you so much for doing the show. It really is a great way to spend the time. And y'all have a good night.
Thanks, Cameron, for being an EPP and for writing in or calling in and sharing your story with us.
That is really neat to be able to see the ghost of the little boy and then have the story afterwards that kind of validates what you saw.
Yeah, and it takes it to a whole different level. I was thinking about the ribbon thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about. Now, I wonder if that is like a regional or a localized term. I mean, I've seen a lot of pictures of orbs, like when they're moving.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of get that ribbon effect there. Is that what he's referring to?
I don't know. I don't know if it's, if it is like a fast-moving orb and you're catching the mm-hmm. tail. If that were the case, I would think that the front end of the quote-unquote ribbon would be brighter than the back end.
Sure.
Because of the light fading.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, uniform in its brightness, it probably looks more like a ribbon and probably is something that I've never heard of before. So it's probably, it may be something localized there.
Maybe something new.
It could be.
We have another type of ghost, everyone. We should have like some sort of theme music that plays when we discover something new or that we haven't talked about before. It's like, and now a new ghost. You know, we like celebrate, have some cake, something. We just have like a, we have like these, like get some of those, what are the cakes in the freezer section that might.
Like the Pepperidge Farm
yes,
ones?
Yes, like the Pepperidge Farm. Yeah, those are delicious.
Those are good.
Where the frosting's like frozen and it's like just chunks of like frozen chocolate frosting.
And
it's like
really thin, thin layers of chocolate yeah. that are crunchy.
The cake part kind of sucks, but mm-hmm. the frosting and everything is just delicious. We should have one of those. We should get like a little mini fridge in here. And then whenever we discover, oh, it's a new type of ghost, we break it out and we sing a song on the air to celebrate and we eat some Pepperidge Farm cake.
I don't think so.
It'd be a great way to celebrate. We take some pictures. It'd be a lot of fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I used to ask for those cakes.
Yeah.
Because I do enjoy them. They're probably not. I have no idea what the calorie count is on those. They're probably not in any way, shape, or form good for you. But they were delicious. It's funny because my mom would like always say, like, I'll bake you your own cake for your birthday, and you want a Pepperidge Farm cake? Like, my mom would get that for me because she couldn't bake, or she didn't bake or whatnot, and that's what she'd get.
Uh-huh.
And it was always like just, you know, last, you know, worst case scenario cake was the Pepperidge Farm cake. And he was like, I'm requesting it. Like, can I have a Pepperidge Farm cake? She's very disappointed about that. I don't think I ever got one for my birthday. It was always home baked, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of funny. James writes, when I was about 11 years old, I went to my aunt and uncle's new home to visit my 7-year-old cousin. He decided we would camp out in the basement on a couch bed. The family had already unpacked nearly everything, including a handful of clotheslines. They hung in the rafters beneath the ceiling, and my cousin had hung sheets on three sides of the bed because even though we hadn't seen or heard anything yet, he was a little freaked out by the dark expanse of the basement. Eventually, we settled down on the couch bed and started taking in an effort to pass the time until we fell asleep. We only had the light on above us in the basement because all of the lights were activated by a chain, not a switch. I controlled all of them. As we were talking, we noticed something in the back of the L-shaped basement. We both turned, looked, and froze. Above another clothesline with a sheet hanging from it, we saw the head of an elderly woman. It stared at us and it seemed to be mad at us for being there. My cousin asked if I was seeing it and I said yes, which scared us both badly because I could see it in detail, even though it was well beyond the distance at which I could see much of anything other than blurry shapes and highly contrasting colors. We didn't know what to do. We were afraid that if we went and got his parents, we'd come back down and find that the woman would be gone. So we stayed where we were, making a point of not looking in that direction for the rest of the night, which is how we spotted our other unwelcome visitor. A black cat with red eyes that could have come straight out of a bad horror movie. We knew it wasn't supposed to be there because a family cat had died prior to my first visit that day, and it was not a black cat. We didn't think of it as a ghost until we went towards where we had seen it, and it vanished while we had our backs turned. But the strange thing about that was the way it did so without making a sound, which I would have heard because my ears have always been sensitive enough to hear even the slightest movement, especially when I'm listening and in the middle of a quiet room. We made our way back to the bed. We saw the thing right back where it had been before, and it stayed there until we both eventually passed out for the rest of the night. Unfortunately, that was not the last of my adventures in that house in my hometown of Romeo, Michigan, where I live today. I went to visit my cousin nearly every weekend for the next few years. On another weekend night, my cousin and I were sleeping on blankets in the front sitting room of the house, which sat directly above the place in the basement where we saw the old woman during my first visit. It was dark, so it was really easy to see the light that slowly drifted down from the second floor staircase. It was as tall as a person. There was a giant cat's claw hovering within it. It went right by our feet on my side, drifting out of the sitting room into the dining room, going through the dining room table and chairs out of the window, which sat half a story above the ground of the fenced-in backyard. I saw the white figure mass again on another visit, this time in my cousin's room after he had fallen asleep. It drifted in through the door and then stopped right in front of me as I lay on the floor, paralyzed. I froze again, and as I lay there, I could see other dim lights appearing before my eyes all around the room. The scariest part of the event came when the lights changed shape to reveal what appeared to be severed, but not bloody, arms and legs. I closed my eyes, praying for the sight before me to leave, and somehow fell asleep. Not too long after that visit, one day my cousin and I were sorting out baseball cards for my father in front of the sitting room. We were home alone. This was a year or so after our first experience in that house, just talking as we worked, which mainly involved me handing cards to my cousin when I couldn't figure out what group to put them in, when we heard a tap on the basement ceiling beneath us. It had come from beneath the couch behind us. We ignored it, and then another one came shortly after we had started talking again. We laughed as we tried to dismiss the two taps as part of the inner workings of the house. We were too inexperienced to understand. A series of taps came shortly after that, growing louder each time until the loudest tap came in the center of the room directly beneath us. We dropped what we were doing and headed out to the front porch to wait for his father, my uncle, to get home from some errands he had gone out to do. Nearly every time I went back there over the years, and my cousin and I hung out in his upstairs room playing Super NES classics like Super Mario Bros. 3 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, we'd hear doors opening and closing on the ground floor. But then we'd find everything the way it was whenever we'd check on things, to the point where we would ignore the sounds after a while. Eventually the family moved after the last of the kids are no longer kids, and I figured I'd never see the house again. I was wrong. Years later, I had a dream about it, but the furniture was all in different and I had never seen it before, and it felt extremely real, even when I came across something that had never existed in the house in all of my years of visiting the family there. In the space where the front sitting room had been, I saw instead of a hallway that curved to the side and towards the basement of the house, and I felt a strange urge to go down that hallway and did not come from my own mind. After realizing this, I woke up. I've had the same dream twice since then. In both dreams, the furniture was different each time, and the tunnel, which is what it felt like to me, Well, there as well, was there as well, along with that strange tugging sensation that came from it.
Okay, the last part of the story makes me wonder one of, well, it makes me wonder two things, and it's probably one or the other. He probably was either dreaming of the space before the family had it,
mm-hmm.
possibly seeing what it used to look like, or he's astral projecting there and seeing what it looks like now.
Is there a way to confirm what it looks like now?
Not unless you're weird and you go up and knock on the door and say, hey, can I come in and take a look around?
People do that.
No.
It doesn't usually work. They're usually black-eyed children
yeah,
on the porch.
Exactly.
But Miranda Lambert did it in that song.
Yeah. No, I don't think there would be a really good way to know.
Hey, I've been having dreams about your house.
Mm-hmm.
Can I come in and just make sure that it matches up correctly? No, that rocker's supposed to be over there. Hey, where's that portal to hell?
Yeah.
I'm sure that would go over really well.
Yeah.
Hey, I brought you a Pepperidge Farm cake. Can I come in? That might be the thing that gets you in the home. Bring the Pepperidge Farm cake. I honestly, because everyone was experiencing it,
mm-hmm.
I almost wonder, and I this is just me wondering, it's not dismissing it, is carbon monoxide. There was a lot of weird visions going on in the story.
Yes.
That didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And the visions didn't really do a whole lot. They're
yeah.
just kind of there, like heads floating around, arms and legs with no blood. You know, it's like mannequin limbs. You know, just weird imagery
mm-hmm.
that didn't seem to have a message. Didn't seem to be like a residual, unless there was a lot of arms and legs being strung around. It just, that's kind of what I was, I don't know.
I could see that.
I mean, it'd be impossible, you know, to go back now and look and say, hey, well, there's a carbon monoxide leak in the house. I just wonder. And then because it was such a bizarre experience for him,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the time, that certainly would play in, and unexplained, that certainly would play into having dreams about it later.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
going to stick with you.
What's going on? What was that experience? So I don't know. It just, it seems to have a lot of the characteristics of possibly being a carbon monoxide issue.
You're right. You're right.
So, I don't know. I'm not dismissing it. It could very well be paranormal.
Well, either way, it was very, very odd, and it happened. I mean,
it happened in, yeah.
Yeah. So, whatever the cause, it was one freaky situation.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. We really do appreciate that. Our phone number here at the show is 855-853-4802 to call in and share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Let's go to Katie in Tennessee. Hi.
Hey, y'all. This is Katie from Tennessee. First off, I just want to say, me and my husband love your show. We're truck drivers, so we keep you plugged in all the time. I actually got you plugged in right now. We're on the road. Okay, my story starts out, me and my husband bought our first home 5 years ago. It was a little single-wide trailer, and it was fairly new. We bought it from my cousin, and he had bought it brand new. So it had, you know, it was new. I mean, there was no need for ghosts to be in it. Nobody had died in it, is what I thought. Okay, so we move in. I have my first child, and I quit work for a while with the baby. He's gone on the road, and I'm home a lot alone. And I just keep feeling like somebody's watching me. Like, it would wake me up out of a dead sleep. As our son gets older, he keeps telling me there's a grandma under the bed. And I'm just, I don't know, a grandma. So I'm assuming he means an older woman. The hangers we had hanging above the dryer, it's like somebody would just walk by and smack them. Like something a kid would do. Well, every time I would go into the living room, I feel like somebody was right on my heels, like a kid does. So I would run like a big baby back to the bedroom. Well, one day I decided to get a babysitter, and I wanted to go with my husband on the road again. This is before I went back to work with him. And we're on our way to Michigan, and it's like, I don't know, 3 in the morning. And he says, you keep telling me you feel something in the house. I'm like, yeah, it's the craziest damn thing. He said, well, I didn't want to tell you this because I knew it'd scare you, but 6 months ago, I saw something. I'm like, what do you mean you saw something? Well, in our living room, there's a bar you can see through to the kitchen. Well, we have my niece over there that weekend watching her. She might have been 4 years old. He thought he saw her with her hand on the refrigerator, like she's going to open the fridge, and he always messes with the kids. So he rounds the corner, he's like, get out of my fridge! And there's no little girl there. But he swears he saw it. And he's very scientific, you know, like, it blew my mind that he even told me that. So I don't know, I wanted to get your guys' take on it. We've since sold the house, we don't have it anymore, we've moved into a new home, which is also haunted, but that's for another story. But I just wanted to get your take on it. The house was new. I don't understand, unless it's the land. It's also the land my parents' home's on, and there's strange things happen there. I remember being a little girl, maybe 6 years old, and my Papa Cole told my dad not to build a house there, that it was an Indian graveyard. But that just sticks out in my mind. I don't know. Maybe that was it, but he said the little girl was white. I don't know. Obviously not Indian. Would love to hear my story on the show, guys. Listen to you all the time. Keep it up.
Maybe that was it.
Maybe it was the ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. And Papa just,
should have been listened to.
Yeah, I was going to say, just because there is a history with the ground and, you know, kind of it came with a warning. It doesn't mean the ghosts necessarily have to match.
Sure.
What is, you know, said to be buried there or haunted. I mean, it could just be something dark that is masking itself as a little girl or a grandma.
Mm-hmm. You should have, or not you, because you're not the one who built the house originally, but the advice should have been heeded.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer.
Yeah, I'd go with that. I would say it's the ground.
Where you said there's things happening at the parents' house, at their house, and it's unexplained. I mean, the previous house, which wasn't on that land, or was it on that land?
The previous house was. The one they're currently in is not.
Okay. So, yeah, I would go with that. I mean, other than that, it doesn't always have to be, you know, a building that something happened in.
Mm-hmm.
You can go antiquing and pick up a lovely haunted object and move it from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
And both your homes are going to be haunted. Now, if you can determine what that is and get rid of it, that may get rid of the haunting. Or it may have decided to move to something else in your home, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all happy thoughts to think about.
So, I'm not providing solutions here. I'm just providing insight as to what may be going on. I'd say move the house off the graveyard.
Well, I don't think they're there anymore.
What about the parents' house?
Oh, that one? I don't know.
Move it off the graveyard. I wonder if that's ever a common thing for an excavating team to hear. You know, the house movers, would that be considered excavating?
I don't know if that's what they're called or not. But the ones that dig it out and put it on a truck and move it.
Yeah, and you haul it down the road somewhere. I wonder how many times, like, well, we love the house, but unfortunately, someone built it on a graveyard. Oh, we get this call every other week, you know. And then they have to, go in and fix that problem. I wonder how often that actually does come up. Like, seriously, I wonder if that is a semi-reoccurring issue.
Do you think, though, that the house would stay haunted because that's, like, really bad to build a house on a graveyard and then just out of spite, something stays with it, just kind of like, you really screwed up. You're going to be haunted forever.
I don't know. I could see that. I would be one of the ghosts who would be, like, vengeful about it.
Yeah, you don't let go of things when you're alive. I can't imagine how much you would harbor things when you're dead.
Oh, their house would be horrible.
Yeah.
They would, no one would want to live in those homes. ever again.
Yeah.
They would think hell had a portal to it right there. It's just me. Hi.
Yeah.
It'd always be the sweet scent of the Pepperidge Farm, though. I smell the Pepperidge Farm. It's, I don't know. It's, it smells great. But
are you going to bring that up every time we talk about a story?
That's my goal of the evening.
That's really
I'm tying it
ambitious
in.
Of you.
I'm tying it into everything. And it's not even sponsored. We should get a sponsorship from them. That'd be great. Unlimited supplies.
That's the last thing we, either one of us need.
And that would be horrible. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I'd eat like one a day. Let's go over to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. This is Shireen out in Washington calling again. So I don't know if my other two stories were aired at all because I am still catching up. I've got both the normal ones and the EPP episodes, and I'm far behind on both. So thank you if you did. I'm sure I'll hear them eventually. So I believe my last story was about the possibility of me having a ghost cat or some sort of creature in my house. Luckily, I haven't had any other experiences with that, or really any other experiences at all in the house. So, who knows? I just wanted to call tonight for a quick story about my sister. And this happened a really long time ago. I was very, very young. My nephew was probably a year old at the time, and he's driving now. Scary, and he's in college. So yeah, it was a long time ago. So she was in her living room. She had one of those old, you know, futon couches that pulled out into a bed type thing, and in front of it was a coffee table. And on top of the coffee table, she had a bowl, and I want to say there was, like, marbles or candy, like jelly beans. Some small roly-poly thingies were in the bowl. So one night, she's in her living room, and she accidentally knocks the bowl over, and the things go all over the place. They're way far back under the futon. They're under the table. They're all across the living room. They just go flying. And she's like, oh, great. Got to pick all these up. She's thinking, got to move the futon and move the table to get all this stuff out. So she turns around and starts picking up all the ones that are easy to reach. And when she turns around towards the futon on the table, there is a pile right next to her. Like, literally, like, it was right behind her, of these things, these jelly beans or whatever, that had gone flying. Something had, while she had her back turned, which was not for very long, collected all of them from underneath the futon and from underneath the table and put them in a nice little pile right behind her so that she didn't have to move the futon and table to get to them. And, yeah, like I said, very short story. But it kind of says a lot about my sister. That's the type of ghost she's been lucky enough to have in her life, our helpful ones. Hasn't had a whole lot of scary things happen to her. She's very, very lucky. Or at least that she has not told me about. I've got another story, but as I told in my first time that I called, I have a really bad memory. And I'm not sure if I remember the details correctly, and since my best friend tends to listen with me, I'm afraid of telling the wrong story, telling it incorrectly, and then having her correct me. Like, that's not how it was. But I guess I can say what I remember, kind of, what I think I remember, is that we were in her living room. I was staying the night. And I want to say that we were teenagers. Maybe not teenagers yet. No. Maybe. I don't know. Like somewhere in between 10 and 12 maybe, or 14, I don't know, early teenage years or right before teenagers. Anyway, I was staying over at her house. It was late at night. Her mom was already in bed. And I forget what we were doing. I said, memory's bad. No idea what we were doing. All I remember is that the computer, which was an old, you know, those old gray boxes way back then in the 90s, it turned on, started booting up. I mean, we were in the living room. The computer was in, like, the dining room type area. We weren't near it. We didn't have any issues with the lights in the house at the same time or anything, just the computer. So it started turning itself on, booting up. And, of course, we freeze and we kind of look over at it. And, you know, you get those chills through your body. You're like, that's not supposed to happen. What's that? And I thought, well, it could have been like a power surge or like something happened. So I got up and I walked over to go like check it, you know, check the power lines and turn it off. And before I could reach it, it powered back down, turned itself off. It hadn't even gotten fully powered up yet. Like it was still loading to the loading screen. So it was just really weird. Like, computers don't do that. And I thought, well, that was odd. So, you know, I stopped and I went back over to the living room with Melody. And then it didn't take too long before it turned back on again. And we both went, oh, well, okay then. So I got up and I walked back over to it. And it turned off again. So we're kind of freaked out because this is a little more than a coincidence. This doesn't seem to be something with the power because the lights have not been affected. It's just something with the computer. And, you know, we didn't know why it was happening. We figured, well, something's turning the computer on, messing with us. So we sat back down, and then it turns on again. And we wanted it to stop because it's scaring us. You know, we were young and we had had some experiences, but I'm pretty sure this was before my first story that I told about being strangled in my house. So we weren't terrified of ghosts at this point, which I guess I'm not terrified, but you know what I mean. We hadn't had like a really bad experience, so it wasn't really scary, you know. It was just like kind of scary. Anyway, so it had turned on again, and you know, we get up and we say, you know, you need to stop doing that, but if you do not turn off that computer and leave it alone and leave us alone, we're gonna go wake up our mom and she's gonna get rid of you. Well, I always call Melody's mom. She's not my real mom. But because in the first time I called, I explained that, you know, people in my family and her family, they have abilities. And her mom knew a lot about the paranormal, spiritualism, and, you know, witchcraft. And we knew that if we got her up, that she would come out and be able to take care of this thing if we couldn't get rid of it. So we threatened it. We're like, we will go get her. Like, you need to stop. And it didn't happen again, I don't think. This is where my memory is sketchy. Is I kind of have a recollection of going and waking her up. But I don't really remember the computer turning on after that. So I don't know if we did wake her up for some reason. Or if I'm just not remembering things correctly. I don't know. That's about all I remember. That it was scary. It kept turning on and off. And we did not know why. Well, what was bothering us. So, I guess that's all for now. You know, I've got more stories. Melody's got a few we haven't told yet. And still got, you know, my sister has more and my mom has tons. I got a bunch more material for you guys. So I will call again when I have caught up a little bit more. Maybe heard my own story. I'll talk to you guys later. All right, bye.
Thanks for calling and sharing your stories with us.
I think that whatever was messing with their computer did not want mom to come out.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe mom knew how to make it go away.
Do you think that ghosts are ever kind of like children when it comes to that sort of thing, where it's, everything's going to stop as soon as the parental figure shows up? Where it's going to mess with the kids? Like, how often is it where the kids are doing something, mm-hmm. It's a total mess. Like, who did this? And literally, really, nobody did it, but the parents are going, no, somebody did this, but the ghosts have done it. How often that happens?
You know, I could see that being the case. I think it was more so they were afraid that, or it was afraid that the mom knew what to say or what to do to make it have to leave.
Because it had that background mm-hmm. that she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. It's playing its cards. It's a smart entity.
Yeah, intelligent entity.
That would be that'd be the way to do it. avoid those who can rid you of the haunting.
Yes.
Are you ridded from the building then, or are you just?
I don't know.
Gone.
You become a homeless ghost.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, and let me just do this right here. And it's time now for everyone's favorite segment. You ready for it? It's time for another round of Ask Tony and Jenny from RealGhostStoriesOnline.com.
You just need gold chains and an abundance of chest hair.
I got the chest hair going on. See? Look at that. Look at that.
Okay.
Yep. Today, Ask Tony and Jenny, your questions answered, brought to you by Pepperidge Farm. All right. See? And got it in again. It actually kind of worked there. Let's go to our first Ask Tony and Jenny letter. Jess writes in, has anything out of the ordinary ever happened in your office while listening to anyone's calls or reading their stories?
Not that I can remember. Do you know of anything that's happened?
There was a time when I was, I think this is back when I was doing the show by myself, and my grandfather was about to pass, and then like any weird noise that I heard, I was wondering if it was him.
Oh.
You know, like, mm-hmm. like hey, because it was like a week or longer of every night. It was like, well, that's probably going to happen tonight. It's probably going to happen tonight. Probably going to happen tonight. And every night, every day, he'd wake up. And he would literally say, he's like, damn it, I'm still here.
Yeah.
he would say it because, I mean, he was not, you know, he wasn't feeling the greatest at the end there. He was just kind of sitting there in agony waiting for it to happen. And his body just kept, kept chugging along. And I was hearing noises and I really couldn't explain them, but I don't necessarily attribute them to anything paranormal either.
Well, I remember the door rattled one time and you thought that I had gotten home from class. Did you tell me about this afterwards?
That did happen.
But I'm willing to bet it was just one of our little Kansas tremors that we've been having so many of lately.
Yeah, I think that's all it really probably was.
Yeah.
I've never actually had anything eerie or paranormal happen during the show that I can recall.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Hey, we've had plenty of people try and catch EVPs or something. It's usually me murmuring something
mm-hmm.
Off of the side of the microphone. But
yes. You do
not,
that a lot.
Not necessarily an EVP. Another one. Let's go over here. Let me pull another Ask Tony and Jenny question up. And by the way, we about once a week post on to Facebook and Twitter. Ask us your questions, and then you can ask them away there, and then we may read it on the show and answer your questions. Sean Smith writes in, what was your own personal paranormal experience that got you into this field?
Well, you were the paranormal experience that got me into this field. What was the paranormal experience that got you into this field?
I think just probably watching a lot of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I don't think I necessarily had a paranormal experience mm-hmm. as a kid. I mean, I loved playing in graveyards by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just wander around them. So I just, the idea of creepiness, of Halloween, of all of that, I think probably is a product of something my mother did, where it was just surrounding me with creepy things. And now I have a warm, fuzzy feeling when I think of creepy things, whereas most people feel creepy. But for me, it's like, oh, home.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's one of those things where you can ingrain that in your children at a young age if you'd like to brainwash them. And all I had was, ghosts. So there you go. I think that's all I really had. Let's see here. Wesley writes in, did you ever think that a part-time show that started as a hobby would snowball into the podcast with thousands of downloads? How do you feel of what you've accomplished, especially how it helps people tell their stories and not hold them in?
I didn't think I would host after the first night that I was with you on this. And then it was fun, and I did not have nightmares, which I just knew I was going to have nightmares because I get them. I mm-hmm. get them all the time. And I was amazed. It's like, okay. And it was kind of fun. So that's how it began for me. But to see it go from just a couple nights a week where I'm not home and you're just doing it as a hobby to what it is now, is it's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's so, personally for me, it's so fulfilling to know that we can offer an outlet for people to share something that's been with them for however many years that they maybe never have shared with anybody, never felt like they could.
Sure.
So that just really, that's the reason I love what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same about that. It's just, and that's something that I never really thought about when I started doing the show. It mm-hmm. was just, hey, it was a show, more so entertainment. We all seem to share something in common, and most people have a ghost story or something unexplained, whether they want to believe it or not. Most people have one. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, this would be entertaining, something someone can listen to while they're painting their deck or whatever.
Sure.
It's kind of, because that's what I was listening to some of these stories as when I was just trying to find them online. And I thought, oh, this would be kind of fun, do a regular all throughout the year. Maybe once a week I'll sit down and do it when I have time. And that's kind of how it was. It was just whenever I kind of had the time to do it. Not a real consistent schedule with it. So I was amazed by the therapeutic end of it for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome. I mean, and it makes total sense too, just to get some of these things out there. So that really is a fulfilling part of this show that I didn't necessarily anticipate. So no, I had no idea that at this point we'd be sitting here like this. And we're actually right now we're sitting at about 1 year from when I actually left commercial radio.
Uh-huh.
Good old FM music radio, which I was still doing, while we were doing the show for a while, and eventually cut that out. And what's baffling to me about this whole thing is having left that world and now doing this show and quite honestly, putting a lot more effort into this show than I ever put into that show.
Uh-huh.
The one that was on, quote unquote, FM radio is interesting as far as audience size goes. We have more listeners to this show every day than I ever had on any FM station I ever worked at. Now, they're not necessarily condensed in one city, but they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But just that idea is baffling to me. Because, I mean, the last station I worked at, it's a pretty big station. I mean, it's the number one rated in the city we're in and throughout this part of the country. It's a big, highly listened to station. But then to have more on the podcast, it's just really kind of, it's neat.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful for it. The fact that so many people enjoyed this this thing, but the fact that we're doing it completely organically. We don't have a signal. We don't have, a marketing budget. Not that we did there either, but... Yeah. You know, we don't have all of those resources, you know, an antenna and this and that and this department and that department. It's literally the two of us.
It is.
And the computers.
Yeah.
And the microphones. And that are putting it together. And then, of course, you know, everyone else that's submitting the stories and making the whole thing possible. But it's just an interesting, you know, way of looking at how shows function today. Whereas, you know, you think, oh, it must take 10, 20 people. No, it takes really one, two people, and you're good.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing. So that's my long-winded answer.
Okay.
So it's pretty neat. Pretty neat O'Keen. Does the show, Laura writes in, does the show ever give you strange dreams? I know Tony loves unsolved mysteries, but what other shows were your favorites? Oh, there's like multiple questions here. So the part of the question where it said, in one sentence, ask your question. I'll answer your other ones. Does the show ever give you strange dreams?
I haven't had any strange dreams from the show. I'm one of those people that it's more so what I see I will dream about later versus mm-hmm. what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see something on the news, you know, that's going to stick with me and give me nightmares more so than, you know, a good creepy story from some of our best authors.
Sure.
And it's not to say that they don't creep me out as much. It's just that's how my mind works, I guess.
Yeah, I've never had nightmares from the show. I've also never attempted to listen to the show when going to sleep either.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know if that would have an influence. It also goes on to say, I know Tony loves unsolved mysteries, but what other shows were your favorites growing up?
Other shows that were our favorites?
Growing up, yeah. It doesn't have to be ghost related.
You know, I didn't watch a whole lot of TV growing up. I mm-hmm. did like...
Jenny was Amish, actually.
No, I was not. I just played outside way too much, but... you know, I watched a lot of my favorite movies over and over. And Goonies, by far, is my favorite movie ever.
Yeah.
So I probably watched that a ton.
Mm-hmm. I would say, as a kid growing up, I loved Unsolved Mysteries. Rescue 911 seemed to be the other show.
That was a good one, yeah.
They seem like they were on the same night.
Really?
I may be wrong, but yeah. I think Quantum Leap was also around that time, too. I remember Quantum Leap, little Scott Bakula.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good show. Other shows, I liked, you know, the original run of TGIF in the 90s, which had, like, Full House, Perfect Strangers, Family Matters, I never watched Just the Ten of Us, but that was one of those first runs on there. Those are some of the other shows I liked.
I loved Wonder Years.
Wonder Years is great, yeah. We mm-hmm. watched that every week, too. That was the other one. I think Sightings was on when we were a kid, but I never really watched a whole lot of it.
No.
Erie, Indiana was an interesting show that had a very short run that was somewhat paranormal related.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only ones I can think of that were kind of ghostly, though.
Okay.
But now there's so many more. It was before the days of ghost hunters and all the other stuff.
Right.
Which I don't know if I would have liked them or not, because, I mean, today I have difficulty watching those. It's like, to me, it just feels very overproduced, you know? And some of the, I mean, not that Unsolved Mysteries wasn't overproduced. They hired actors and actresses, but it just seemed more like reenacting. Here's what happened. A bell rang, and that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh my God, dude, bro, a bell rang, and now someone's grabbing my butt. Oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
Or it's like craziness.
Uh-huh.
It's like the whole episode. You could watch 15 minutes and be just freaked out by a little porcelain bell ringing. It's like, oh wow, that was a creepy story.
Mm-hmm.
And those stick with me much more than like some EVP or something like that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's this round of Ask Tony and Jenny. It's very, very soon we'll be having the video version of Ask Tony and Jenny out there on a regular basis with a much longer extended version of it. You can be checking that out. If you're an EPP, sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. You'll be the first to get access to sign up on the website. Like I said, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.